Hey, welcome into a special schedule release episode of Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange, as always, joined by Charlie Polillo. Next to him is Josh Jordan of Sports Talk 790. You can follow them both on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Schedule release is here. It's become a big deal with dedicated TV shows and all the teams doing their own promo videos on social. Houston's featured Brian Cushing getting all bloodied up, reading off the schedules. That was fun. Ours won't be quite as dramatic. Let me read through it real quick. I'll get you guys' reactions to it. So we start home Bills, Bengals, at Colts, home Cowboys, at Titans, Jags in Wembley, then home Giants, open week 8, bye if you're nasty, at Chargers, week 9, at Browns, home Colts, home Ravens, at Steelers, at Commanders, home Jags, at Eagles, at Packers, and then home Titans to close out the season, week 17. Guys, what jumps up to you about this schedule for 2026?
First, high props for use of open week, Brandon. The beginning and the end, not to exclude the middle, but the Texans, obviously, with spectacular defensive continuity, not everybody, but almost everybody back from a super elite defense. You open with the Bills. They've tormented Josh Allen a couple of times prior at NRG Reliant Stadium, I think. It shouldn't be a terrible transition for the Bills. They promoted from within after firing Sean McDermott, the offensive coordinator. Joe Brady gets the job. But that's a headliner game, a couple of bona fide AFC contenders. The first of what will be 3 out of 4 at home to start the season. And you get Josh Allen followed by Joe Burrow with the Bengals. And then week 4, if he's still healthy, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, the scalper's delight game. And then you look down the stretch of the season before the finale here against the Titans, 4 out of 5 on the road. Hope it's not an early winter. December 6th at Pittsburgh. The 13th at Washington, Christmas Eve at Philadelphia, and the first game of 2027 at Green Bay. And 3 of those 4 games, night games, Steelers Sunday Night Football. Christmas Eve. Yeah, Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve evening. Going to be racing Santa to the finish. So will be Texans on Tap. At Lambeau on a Monday night. By last year's records, and the NFL has so much up and down, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but the 7th easiest schedule by overall strength of record. This is a good team playing a good schedule. Now go have a good season with it.
Yeah. My takeaway is I'm glad that we saw them overcome going 0-3 to start last season, because it's tough early on. I mean, you're playing 3 really good quarterbacks in your first 4 games. So if they stumble out of the gate a little bit, it's not the end of the world, but they've played really well against Josh Allen. Joe Burrow, we know they beat them in Cincinnati, but if you remember, the Bengals dropped a touchdown there at the end of the game. That could have gone the other way. And with the Cowboys, who knows? I know their defense is atrocious, but they did a lot to try and correct it in the offseason. And you know, with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys have a lot of firepower on offense. So I'll be looking, can C.J. Stroud and the Texans' revamped offense and run game, can they keep up and score enough points to win these games? We know the defense is going to be phenomenal, barring health. I don't have any concerns there. So early on, that's going to be a real test to know what this team is made of, to go against some real Super Bowl contenders, especially with the Bills and the Bengals right out of the gate. The Bengals did a lot to improve their defense. We know they're loaded on offense. Burrow's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So Texans will have their hands full, but this defense, I think they're built to hold up.
The one other thing that jumped out to me, guys, and I think it's more favorable than not, but with a couple of asterisks to it. This is a season where it's 8 home games, 9 road games. Well, one of those road games isn't going to be a real road game, and it could be a massive game. They're playing Jacksonville at Wembley Stadium, mm-hmm. as opposed to going and playing it at Jacksonville. And I know the Texans historically have had good success at Jacksonville, but fundamentally, against the team that edged you out to win the division and going into the season, figures to be your primary rival to win the division, I'd rather play him at what generally is a neutral field as opposed to going and playing in Duval, because the Jaguars are not England's team, even though they play at least one game per year there. The one hedge on that is the Jaguars are used to going over there every year, and that actually will be their second consecutive game. They're playing at Tottenham's stadium the week before, staying over there, so they'll be in full routine of 2 weeks of preparing to play in England, whereas the Texans will fly over, I presume, like Thursday of game week. Texans went over there once before, 2018 or so, and won. That was then, and this is now. But, you know, in a race where, one, the division against the Jaguars, and two, the bigger goal, you know, the Texans, they need a top two finish in the AFC. So they're home in the divisional round, and you win a home game, and you're in the AFC championship game. That hurdle that going into their 25th season, they've yet to clear.
The other thing I noticed with that is they don't get a break, an off week after that game where they travel. They come back home to host the Giants. Very often, you get that week off when you have to travel overseas. That's not going to be the case. Also, these feel like the types of games the Texans often lose. I know on the road in general, they've struggled. They've made some steps to improve that, but that's going to concern me just a little bit. And the amount of air miles, they put that out, like who's traveling the most. It's Texans second most of like 28,000 or something like that. I think only the 49ers have to travel more this season than the Texans.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I have that as an L, the game at Wembley. I have that as an L. I have more concern with that game. I have those first three of the four that you talked about, Josh. I have those as W's because they're at home, and I fully expect the defense to show up, whether the offense does or not. I mean, I think that's obviously the ultimate X factor on the season is what version of CJ Stroud does this Texans team see this season. One of the things that sticks out to me is between weeks 10 through 15, I think, is a real opportunity to make hay. At Browns, home Colts, home Ravens, at Steelers, at Commanders, and then Jags home. I think that could be a stretch of games that could be very meaningful for them, especially if they're jockeying for position. Now, two questions. One is, where are you at with week 8 being the bye week? And then what are some maybe X factors or concerns that immediately jump off the page?
It's not quite the midpoint of the schedule, but the open week comes after game 7. And to me, who's injured at the time? You know, if the open week falls where, hey, it's the difference of getting Nico Collins back a game earlier than he would have missed if there wasn't the open week at that point in the schedule. So I'm not terribly bothered by that. The Giants are going to bring a pass rush to Reliant Stadium for that game. You know, we'll see if Harbaugh associated physical football with the Ravens. Will he get that, especially from the Giants offensive line in season one? You know, is that a trap game, as you guys noted, coming right after coming home from London? You know, the 4 out of 5 road games late in the year is just a lot of road games. Granted, they don't go by Amtrak. And Pittsburgh, they're going to get another shot at Aaron Rodgers. Washington, which way does the pendulum swing? You know, Jaden Daniels, year one, took the whole league by storm. Year two, he was hurt all the time, and the Commanders were demoted. Should have been privates or something last year. At Philadelphia, Christmas Eve, beware the ice balls from idiot Eagles fans, right? They pelt Santa Claus. If we were going to do reverse survivor pool, you know, what's one game the Texans are most likely to lose on the schedule? I'd go with that Eagles game. One, Eagles are generally very good. Mm-hmm. They, too, are going to bring a pass rush. And that's a Thursday night game, 4 nights after you play what presumably will be a huge division game here against the Jaguars. So I think that's the single toughest game in terms of opponent and where it falls on the schedule for the Texans.
Yeah, some of my X factors are you're getting Josh Allen week one, so you could presume he's going to be as healthy as he's going to be all season. A guy that likes to run. Texans, a team that really struggled against quarterbacks that can rush. So that's something I'm keeping my eye on. And Joe Burrow, a guy that's dealt with injuries, you're getting him in week two. So two of the best quarterbacks in the league, in theory, are going to be at pretty much 100% health. With the Giants matchup, kind of on that same idea of health, You don't get them till like week eight. Malik Nabers and Cam Scataboo coming off really bad injuries. So by the time the Texans play them, in theory, they should be to full health. So you're going to get everything they got, and you're going to get it after traveling to London. And then, I mean, the Chargers are a team that concerns me. That's going to become after the off week. And we know what happened when the Texans had a bye and went and played Seattle last year and just got slaughtered. So in theory, you think that extra week to prepare is going to help you, but it certainly did not help them last year. And then I'm with Charlie. The Texans really struggle with NFC teams on the road. So I think going to play the Eagles and the Packers, those are going to be some tough games. If I have to pick a game where I think they're likely to lose, obviously those games make sense. But I'm not overlooking the Ravens. They've never beaten Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I know they beat them last year without Lamar Jackson, but they're going to have to prove to me that they can beat Lamar. And once again, running quarterback, which the Texans struggle with.
And Derrick Henry didn't retire, right?
No.
Yeah, I've got that Ravens game. Yeah, I've got that Ravens game as an L, as well as I do the Eagles and Packers games. So let's do this. Before I ask for your predictions, what do you think the division race looks like this season?
I'm not a Daniel Jones guy. He got off to a fabulous start last season. Credit to him for that. I mean, it's nice to have Jonathan Taylor as support. Alec Pierce is supposed to be healthy before the season starts. They're now wildly overpaid, granted, big play wide receiver, but their offensive line is still in flux. And the Colts started to drop off before Daniel Jones's season ended with that torn Achilles. So I don't know if it struck midnight on Cinderella, but I'm not a Colts believer at this point. The Titans roster is still just nowhere close. So that makes it a de facto match race. Again, the teams that were 1-2 last season, Jaguars, Texans.
I think the Jags are the team that I'm most concerned about, because even though they lost some talent on defense in the offseason, but they're still loaded on offense. Liam Cohen's a great play caller, something the Texans don't have a great proven play caller. Trevor Lawrence was much better with him last year. And if you watch the Jaguars schedule release, they have Trevor Lawrence getting like a terrible haircut. He looks like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. I don't know if that's just some kind of like AI fake or something like that. It kind of looked like a wig, so I don't really know. But if Samson really did cut his hair, maybe that's something we should look at. But we also look, CJ Stroud cut his hair too. I think he got tired of all the photos with Whoopi Goldberg's face pasted on his football body. So that's something I factor in. But seriously, as far as their offense, Parker Washington, Jacoby Myers, Brenton Strange, Brian Thomas Jr., Bashal Tutin, and they brought in Chris Rodriguez, a running back that Cohen has worked with before. So I think they're going to have a lot of firepower on offense. For me, it's, can the Texans keep up with the scoring? Does the offense take a step forward with CJ this year and the running game? Because in the red zone, they were just awful. Think how many times they got down to the 1 yard line and had to have Kamie Fairbairn come in and kick a field goal, either because they couldn't punch it in, or they had two guys in motion at the same time, or somebody jumped off sides. And you have Fairbairn breaking records for field goals. He didn't even play all the games last year. They got to be able to score more touchdowns when they get down there. That's the run game. And I guess the biggest X factor for me in the run game, David Montgomery, I like the move, but he's going to play this season at 29 years old. If he gets dinged up and isn't able to go, the thought of Woody Marks being your bell cow again, he had 100-yard game last season. It took all the way to the playoffs for that to happen. So I don't feel great about the depth behind David Montgomery.
So we do this every year. We have to do our predictions. So we start with Charlie. Charlie, what you got?
I believe if you go to the archives, I've hit this 2 years in a row. When I see Trevor Lawrence going back to Clemson, I always think Jeff Spicoli.
Yeah.
These are fast times for the Texans. I do not think CJ Stroud is professionally traumatized. As inept and pathetic as he was in the playoffs, I think the rubber hits the road on that when the playoffs get here. I don't think he's mental mush and is just going to be a nervous wreck and people are going to be calling for Davis Mills by week three. Texans 13-4. They have that top two seed. Now deliver with it. This is mid-May and subject to change.
Of course. For me, I've got them going 12-5. I'm optimistic. I have them losing at home to the Bengals in week two. I have them losing to the Jags overseas. I have them losing to the Chargers on the road. Have them losing to the Ravens at home. And I also have them losing to the Eagles. So I think that's five.
I've got losses at Colts, at Wembley, at Chargers, Ravens home, at Eagles, at Packers. I'm going to go 11-6 here. I think 12 is very attainable. To me, the difference was that Ravens game, and I had it as a win, and I backed off of it. I couldn't commit to putting the W down there. Just that old Ravens PTSD with the Texans. They just seem to have their number when it counts. Final thoughts before we jump out the door, guys?
As always, more so in football than any other sport, but as in life, health is the biggest wild card. The Texans defense is sensational. It was also pretty sensationally healthy last season. You know, it can be one major pass rusher injury away from dropping down a tier in a hurry. But every other team's liable to the same good luck and bad luck. I just look at this defensive roster. Seattle's took a couple of hits in the postseason. If we were going to power rate NFL defenses at this point, there's a very bona fide argument for the Texans as number one. The offense doesn't need to be one, two, or three for this team to be a bona fide NFL Final Four contender.
Yeah, I said the same thing on our schedule release show, Charlie. It was like they were very lucky with injuries last season, the Texans were. And you just have to hope that they are again, not only with the pass rush, but I think even if you lose one of your top tier corners, Stingley or Lassiter, I think you could be in some trouble. I don't think they have a ton of depth there either. And you're going to face some, like the Bengals, they got a lot of good receivers on that team. And if you're only down to one good corner, that could be trouble. Hopefully that won't be the case. My final takeaway is there's a lot of like great matchups that didn't get put into night games on national TV, especially the Bills game the first week. And Texans Cowboys, I'm shocked, is a noon start. I thought that would have been something that would have been highlighted. I wonder if perhaps it's because the Texans offense was so bad last year, it was kind of hard to watch. You'd see a lot of people on Twitter being like, oh God, this game is so boring because the Texans are defensively heavy. But on the other hand, you have some games where they're just laying out dudes and it's fun to watch them. So that surprised me a little bit. We don't get Texans Cowboys in the regular season all that often. Surprised that didn't get featured.
I'm excited. I'm ready to get the games going right now. Until then, make sure you're subscribed to the channel to make sure that you know when new content drops. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for coming in and talking ball with us. Until next time, go Texans.